Everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Tuesday, May 11, 2021. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I'd like to remind everyone RBN is listener supported. Please donate whatever is manageable. No donation is too small. Free speech simply cannot stay alive without being funded by we, the people. Please help ensure that RBN continues broadcasting uncensored content well into the future. You can use PayPal on the RBN website donate page. You can call our RBN staff to donate via credit or debit card. You can call in to donate at 800-724-2719. Extension 3. Or you can mail in your donation, cash, check, money order, to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And we greatly appreciate it, folks. While supplies last for every $100 donation, you can have your choice of a high-quality RBN t-shirt or RBN coffee mug. So get while the getting's good. We have a chat room at beyondton.chatango.com for constructive, respectful posts. And today I have a returning guest, Paul in California, here joining us. And Paul is waiting in the queue, but he requested we present an audio clip, actually, to start the show. You could think of it as Groundhog Day, perhaps, or a stroll down memory lane, if you prefer. So, Julie, if you can cue up that audio, please.
The flu season is upon us. Which type will we worry about this year? And what kind of shots will we be told to take? Remember the swine flu scare of 1976? That was the year the U.S. government told us all that swine flu could turn out to be a killer that could spread across the nation. And Washington decided that every man, woman, and child in the nation should get a shot to prevent a nationwide outbreak, a pandemic. Well, 46 million of us obediently took the shot. And now 4,000 Americans are claiming damages from Uncle Sam amounting to $3.5 billion because of what happened when they took that shot. By far the greatest number of the claims, two-thirds of them, are for neurological damage or even death, allegedly triggered by the flu shot. We pick up the story back in 1976 when the threat posed by the swine flu virus seemed very real indeed.
This virus was the cause of a pandemic in 1918 and 1919 that resulted in over 500,000 deaths in the United States, as well as 20 million deaths around the world.
See how easy it is to.
Thus, the U.S. government's publicity machine was cranked into action to urge all America to protect itself against the swine flu menace.
Influenza is serious business. During major flu epidemics, millions of people are sick and thousands die. Well, this year you can get protection. The vaccines are safe, easy to take, and they can protect you against flu. So roll up your sleeve. Protect yourself.
One of those who did roll up her sleeve was Judy Roberts. She was perfectly healthy, an active woman, when in November of 1976, she took her shot.
2 weeks later, she says, she began to feel a numbness starting up her legs.
I joked about it at that time. I said, I'll be numb to the knees by Friday if this keeps up. By the following week, I was totally paralyzed.
So completely paralyzed, in fact, that they had to operate on her to enable her to breathe. And for 6 months, Judy Roberts was a quadriplegic. The diagnosis? A neurological disorder called Guillain-Barré syndrome, GBS for short. These neurological diseases are little understood. They affect people in different ways. As you can see in these home movies taken by a friend, Judy Roberts' paralysis confined her mostly to a wheelchair for over a year. But this disease can even kill. Indeed, there are 300 claims now pending from the families of GBS victims who died, allegedly as a result of the swine flu shot. In other GBS victims, the crippling effects diminish and all but disappear. But for Judy Roberts, progress back to good health has been painful and partial.
Now, I notice that your smile, Judy, is a little bit constricted.
Yes, it is.
Is it different from what it used to be?
Very different. I have a greatly decreased mobility in my lips. And I can't drink through a straw on the right-hand side. I can't blow out birthday candles. I don't whistle anymore, for which my husband is grateful.
It may be a little difficult for you to answer this question, but have you recovered as much as you are going to recover?
Yes, this is it.
So you will now have a legacy of braces on your legs for the rest of your life?
Yes, the weakness in my hands will stay and the leg braces will stay.
So Judy Roberts and her husband have filed a claim against the U.S. government. They're asking $12 million, though they don't expect to get nearly that much.
Judy, why did you take the flu shot?
I'd never taken any other flu shots, but I felt like this was going to be a major epidemic. And the only way to prevent a major epidemic of a really deadly variety of flu was for everybody to be immunized.
Where did this so-called deadly variety of flu, where did it first hit back in 1976? It began right here at Fort Dix in New Jersey in January of that year when a number of recruits began to complain of respiratory ailments, something like the common cold. An Army doctor here sent samples of their throat cultures to the New Jersey Public Health Lab to find out just what kind of bug was going around here. One of those samples was from a Private David Lewis who had left his sickbed to go on a forced march. Private Lewis had collapsed on that march, and his sergeant had revived him by mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. But the sergeant showed no signs of illness. A few days later, Private Lewis died.
If this disease is so potentially fatal that it's going to kill a young, healthy man, a middle-aged schoolteacher doesn't have a prayer.
The New Jersey lab identified most of those soldiers' throat cultures as the normal kind of flu virus going around that year, but they could not make out what kind of virus was in the culture from the dead soldier and from four others who were sick. So they sent those cultures to the Federal Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, Georgia, for further study. A few days later, they got the verdict, swine flu. But that much publicized outbreak of swine flu at Fort Dix involved only Private Lewis, who died, and those four other soldiers who recovered completely without the swine flu shot.
If I had known at that time that the boy had been in a sick bed, got up, went out on a forced march, and then collapsed and died, I would never have taken the shot.
The rationale for our recommendation was not on the basis of the death of a single individual, but it was on the basis that when we do see a change in the characteristics of the influenza virus, it is a massive public health problem in this country.
Dr. David Sensor, then head of the CDC, the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, is now in private industry. He devised the swine flu program, and he pushed it.
You began to give flu shots to the American people in October of 76.
October 1st.
By that time, how many cases of swine flu around the world had been reported?
There had been several reported, but none confirmed. There had been cases in Australia that were reported by the press, by the news media. There were cases in...
None confirmed. Did you ever uncover any other outbreaks of swine flu anywhere in the world?
No.
Now, nearly everyone was to receive the shot in a public health facility where a doctor might not be present. Therefore, it was up to the CDC to come up with some kind of official consent form, giving the public all the information it needed about the swine flu shot. This form stated that the swine flu vaccine had been tested. What it didn't say was that after those tests were completed, the scientists developed another vaccine. And that was the one given to most of the 46 million who took the shot. That vaccine was called X-53A.
Was X-53A ever field tested?
I can't say. I would have to...
It wasn't.
I don't know.
Well, I would think that you're in charge of the program.
I would have to check the records. I haven't looked at this in some time.
The information form, the consent form, was also supposed to warn people about any risks of serious complications following the shot. But did it?
No, I had never heard of any reactions other than a sore arm, fever, this sort of thing.
Judy Roberts' husband, Gene, also took the shot.
Yes, I looked at that document. I signed it. Nothing on there said I was going to have a heart attack or I'd get Guillain-Barré, which I never heard of.
What if people from the government, from the Center for Disease Control, what if they had indeed known about it? What would be your feeling?
They should have told us.
Did anyone ever come to you and say, you know something, fellas? There's the possibility of neurological damage if you get into a mass immunization program.
No.
No one ever did?
No.
Do you know Michael Hatwick?
Yes, mm-hmm.
Dr. Michael Hatwick directed the surveillance team for the swine flu program at the CDC. His job was to find out what possible complications could arise from taking the shot and to report his findings to those in charge.
Did you know ahead of time, Dr. Hatwick, that there had been case reports of neurological disorders, neurological illness, apparently associated with the injection of influenza vaccine?
Absolutely.
You did?
Yes.
How'd you know that?
By review of the literature.
So you told your superiors, the men in charge of the swine flu immunization program, about the possibility of neurological disorders?
Absolutely.
What would you say if I told you that your superiors say that you never told them about the possibility of neurological complications?
That's nonsense. I can't believe that they would say that they did not know that there were neurological illnesses associated with influenza vaccination. That simply is not true. We did know that.
I've said that Dr. Hatwick had never told me of his feelings on this subject.
And he's lying.
I guess you would have to make that assumption.
Then why does this report from your own agency, dated July 1976, list neurological complications as a possibility?
I think the consensus of the scientific community was that the evidence relating neurologic disorders to influenza immunization was such that they did not feel that this association was a real one.
You didn't feel it was necessary to tell the American people that information?
I think that over the years we have tried to inform the American people as fully as possible.
As part of informing Americans about the swine flu threat, Dr. Censor's CDC also helped create the advertising to get the public to take the shot.
Let me read to you from one of your own agency's memos planning the campaign to urge Americans to take the shot. The swine flu vaccine has been taken by many important persons, he wrote. Example, President Ford, Henry Kissinger, Elton John, Muhammad Ali, Mary Tyler Moore, Rudolf Nureyev, Walter Cronkite, Ralph Nader, Edward Kennedy, etc., etc. True?
I'm not familiar with that particular piece of paper, but I do know that at least of that group, President Ford did take the vaccination.
Did you talk to these people beforehand to find out if they planned to take the shot?
I did not know.
Did anybody?
I do not know.
Did you get permission to use their names in your campaign?
I do not know.
Mary, did you take a swine flu shot?
No, I did not.
Did you give them permission to use your name saying that you had or were going to?
Absolutely not. Never did.
Did you ask your own doctor about taking the swine flu shot?
Yes, and at the time he thought it might be a good idea. But I resisted it because I was leery of having the symptoms that sometimes go with that kind of inoculation.
So you didn't?
No, I didn't.
Have you spoken to your doctor since?
Yes.
And?
He's delighted that I didn't take that shot.
You're in charge. Somebody's in charge.
There are...
This is your advertising strategy that I have a copy of here.
Who's it signed by?
This one is unsigned. But you'll acknowledge that it was your baby, so to speak.
It could have been from the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. It could be from CDC. I don't know. I'll be happy to take responsibility for it.
It's been 3 years now since you fell ill with GBS, right?
Right.
Has the federal government, in your estimation, played fair with you about your claim?
No, I don't think so. It seems to be dragging on and on and on, and really no end in sight that I can see at this point.
With respect to the cases of Guillain-Barré, allegedly...
Former Secretary of HEW Joseph Califano, too, was disturbed that there was no end in sight. So a year and a half ago, he promised that Uncle Sam would cut the bureaucratic red tape for victims suffering from GBS and would pay up quickly.
We shouldn't hold them to an impossible or too difficult standard of proving that they were hurt. Even if we pay a few people a few thousand dollars that might not have deserved it, I think justice requires that we promptly pay those people who do deserve it.
Who's making the decision to be so hard-nosed about settling?
Well, I assume the Justice Department is.
Griffin Bell, before he left?
Well, the Justice Department agreed to the statement I made. It was cleared word for word with the lawyers in the Justice Department by my HEW lawyers.
And that statement said, in effect...
That statement said that we should pay Guillain-Barré claims without regard to whether the federal government was negligent if they resulted from the swine flu shot.
I think the government knows it's wrong.
If it drags out long enough, that people will just give up. Let it go.
I am a little more adamant in my thoughts than my wife is, because I told Judy to take the shot. She wasn't going to take it, and she never had shots. And I'm mad with my government because they knew the facts, but they didn't release those facts because if they had released them, the people wouldn't have taken it. And they can come out tomorrow and tell me there's going to be an epidemic, and they can drop off like flies to Mexico. I will not take another shot that my government tells me to take.
Meantime, Judy Roberts and some 4,000 others like her are still waiting for their day in court.
And that's the clip. And my guest for a response to that audio clip, Paul in California. Hello, Paul. The floor is yours.
Well, in full disclosure, while I was listening to that shot, I self-administered two different shots. I took the AstraZeneca in my left arm and the Johnson & Johnson in my right, because I hadn't had those. I've already tried the Moderna and the Pfizer, and they didn't seem to do anything. I keep looking for the proper reaction, you know, the kind of things that have happened to some of my neighbors. You know, for example, there's a guy up the street, he's 74 years old, crossing guard. Okay, he's a retired psychotherapist, the PhD kind, not the MD. And so he's an educated man. And so the school district he was working for, they were recommending, oh, everybody should get the vaccine. This is back in February. Even though his wife, who I know and I've spoken with many times, advised him not to do it. And probably some of it due to conversations she had with me, but also that's her nature. And his own son and his own daughter advised him not to do it. He did it anyway. So now he's basically at the point where he can't really walk very well. He falls down all the time. He has lost a lot of his bowel and bladder control. He has early onset dementia. And all he wants to do, according to his wife, is eat and drink alcohol and smoke pot all the time. He occasionally smoked pot before, but basically now he wants to do it first thing every day. And so he's become essentially under her full-time care, thanks to the shot. Another one of my neighbors, a few doors up, who I have known her for years, and she diligently walks around the block at least once or twice almost every day just to keep some form of, you know, mobility. She's had a broken hip before and surgery. She's also in her 70s. And I just happened to see her the other day, you know, limping worse than ever. And her skin just looks like terrible. It's almost like gray looking. And she doesn't look too much longer for this world. And I didn't know she had the shot. I mentioned to her the other day we were talking. I said, hey, whatever you do, don't get the shot. It's all we can really say to people anymore, right? Well, she goes, oh, no, I already had it. I go, oh, God, well, don't get another one. Oh, no, I had two. And why? Well, because she mentioned that her son works at Trader Joe's, and, of course, Trader Joe's was, encouraging everybody and even set aside time. They could go and get some time off paid to get the shot, and it's ready. You ready for this? It's free. So this is the second or third time I've heard somebody say it's free. Now, my across-the-street neighbor, now, this is just all in the same street that I live. Like, you know, you don't have to go far and wide to meet people that are getting this thing. So my across-the-street neighbor was gone. He was in the hospital for, I think, the better part of 6 weeks, and they weren't really sure. They were running all kinds of tests. So he finally came home, and I've known this man for probably 20-plus years. He's 83 now, right? And he's a retired gardener, essentially. And so I was talking to his son. His son is in his, 50s, and I said, so what did they think was wrong with him? Well, you know, they weren't sure. They did all these tests. I said, well, hopefully he didn't get vaccinated while he was, oh, yeah, no, they told him he had to. I said, well, he never had to, but, he got the Moderna shot. I said, oh, okay. And then he says to me, the son, well, I did it too. I got mine too. I go, and I literally said right to his face, I go, what the hell did you do that for? I told you not to effing do that. Because months ago, you know, he and I had talked about this pandemic and the whole fakeness of it. And, you know, whatever you do, don't get a shot. Just conversationally, you know, I can't go into great lectures with these people. I can occasionally suggest links. But, you know, what can you do? You can't go proselytizing to everybody you know. He said to me, after I said to him, what the hell did you do that for? I told you not to do it. He goes, well, you know, it was free and everybody's getting it. This is literally the average brain-dead American's response to this stuff. So, you know, what can be said, Richard? I mean, the bottom line is that people are unbelievably naive and stupid. They have no sense of the past in many cases. They have little to no knowledge of any kind of history at all. And they don't realize in many cases, because they don't think about it, that at least at one point in time, back, you know, then in the 70s and the 80s, we still did have some semblance of actual journalism. Can you imagine 60 Minutes running a piece like that today? Think about that.
Well, I mean, I know there's a lot of science out there, but to the average person, I mean, if it's trending, if it's the thing to do, you know, come on, you have to go along with the flock, right?
That's amazing. It's complete and total insanity. It's exactly what I call, and I just, for the more advanced people, you know, they'll get it right away. This is Jew medicine, okay? This is Jew government. This is what they love to do. They love to create something out of nothing. In other words, there is no virus that causes any disease. There's no COVID-19. There never was, just like there never was any swine flu. Just like there never was any deadly pandemic in 1918 with the so-called Spanish flu. To me, I have no other way to look at that except in the context of today and to ask myself, 70 years from now, 100 years from now, what are they going to write about the history of today? You and I and millions of people know this is one of the greatest frauds that ever has been perpetrated. And yet, what will they say about it 100 years from now? And we know at the time that we're living right now that it's a big bunch of nonsense, right? It's just a mass poisoning and an attempt at tyranny. So who's to say that the truth, right, is anything that we've been told on just about any topic relating to history? And this has been my position for a very long time, and I try to convey this to people. I say, all right, if I told you right now that the government does not always have your best interest in heart and the government is not your best friend, most people would say, okay, I can believe that. But try to do that with, quote, medicine or science. So what has happened is you probably, you know, a lot of your listeners I'm sure can understand is that there's no difference anymore between these large vested corporate interests and governments. Governments have for a very long time been nothing but whores. And I like to use that word because it carries with it such a, you know, a sleazy connotation of a whore, somebody that will do something that they normally would never do for money. And I know people could not see that clip, but anybody listening that wants to go check it out, it's on BitChute and or Goyim TV and probably a number of other places. You just type in the 60-minute expose of the swine flu and, you know, you'll get it. And you can see that doctor, I don't know if you saw it visually, Richard, but you can see that slimy worm of a doctor being asked if there was any documented cases. And he says, well, not that he was aware of. No confirmed cases, and yet he was recommending millions of people get vaccinated. And then you can also see the beauty of the confrontation with Mike Wallace, where he says, well, was this vaccine ever field tested? You know, and it's like he has to say, well, I'd have to look at the literature. I'm not familiar with that. Good God, where do they get these people from?
The guy
Go ahead.
I did catch the facial expressions, body language. Yeah, he certainly looked like someone who was busted. And, there were a lot of tells where he didn't seem comfortable with the line of questioning whatsoever. The other doctor who had insisted that he did talk about these dangers, on the other hand, he very much seemed like someone I could believe, and it was very confident that day when he was speaking with the interviewer.
Right, but the idea being is the first doctor that we were talking about, I mean, nothing but a sleazy whore. I mean, just imagine, here's the guy that was supposed the head of the CDC at the time, the prestigious Center for Disease Control. And he claims not to know that the vaccine that he's recommending has been field tested. It's just simply staggering beyond belief. And today you look at how stupid people are. I don't know what the numbers are that they're saying that people have taken the vaccine or not. And who's to say what's in it? You know, you hear all kinds of, there's going to be mRNA, there's going to be this, that, and the other. You know what? I don't believe anything anymore. Here, the only thing that I know for sure is that it's poison. Okay, it's some sort of toxin, and that's what causes almost all illness, is basically, you know, being exposed to toxins in the environment, toxins in our food, toxins that are injected into us, and the body's reaction to such. And if you spend some time and you pull the tabs and you listen to all the people online that are talking about essentially the fraud of the infection theory of disease, right? The fact that viruses have never been proven to cause disease, and by the way, neither have bacteria. Although the products of bacteria, the waste products of bacteria, are indeed poisonous to a lot of people. So, for example, botulism, right? That's the product of bacteria, right? Just for example, also salmonella. It's not the bacteria itself, right? It's the waste product of that, of the metabolism of the bacteria. That's what makes you sick. It's known as a preformed toxin. I actually once had food poisoning. I wouldn't recommend that to even my enemy. It was a terrible experience. I was in the hospital for a couple of days, and they told me that I had consumed some sort of preformed toxin. But of course, the bottom line is that today people are walking around believing they're going to catch something in the air or from other people or from surfaces. And I still see to this day, even though California, I'm sitting in the beautiful sunshine right now. It's been in the 80s and the 90s the last few days. You can still see people walking around in the middle of the day with one or even two masks on. You can see them in the grocery store with like a face shield and a mask and a set of gloves. And it's really just a collectively imposed, insanity and an IQ test. And in my opinion, that's all it's ever been.
I agree with you about the medical community being as untrustworthy as the government, big government. Also, these international agencies are so beholden to corporate profit. FDA is completely in the back pocket of Big Pharma. So I won't be surprised if these do get approved beyond experimental in the next couple of years. They'll hide all of the data of deaths and adverse reactions. The NIH is largely funded by none other than Bill Gates, for that matter. And we've seen so much misreporting and flip-flopping from the CDC. Of course, they're highly compromised as well by all these profits. But people, I don't know, they seem to not understand these are private companies. We have a caller on the line for you right after the break here. So stick around, folks. Bottom of the hour break. We'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people, because you can handle the truth.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
About it. Ain't no real big secret, all the same, somehow we get around it.
And we're back, folks. Beyond the official narrative, Republic Broadcasting, here with my guest today, Paul in California. And Paul, I hear that they're even rolling this out for the children now in California, these shots. I understand that, 11, 12, somewhere around there to 18, they've already got approval for. Now they're going after the 2 to 11-year-olds, is that right?
I couldn't tell you. I don't keep up with any local news. Everything I get is online from the computer, so the only thing that I can really comment upon is when some of these websites talk about these stories or do an article or a piece or a video on some of the news stories. So nothing surprises me anymore. I just feel that, we're in a time where the weak and the stupid are going to be culled, and at the very least, they're going to be injured, in many cases, maybe for life. And the most frustrating thing, Richard, as you may know, and I've come to the conclusion a while ago, is there's nothing I can do about it. You know, there's no way to stop these people. I honestly feel that if I was to open up a free clinic and you get a, you know, a 2x4 upside the head and a free donut, you know, I'd have people in and outside the door waiting to get hit upside the head with a 2x4. I can't think of any other explanation for it because, you know, I'm not sick. Nobody I know has been sick. You know, during the whole pandemic, I felt great, except for, you know, being mad at how stupid people were wearing masks everywhere and believing the nonsense. And I predicted last year that it wouldn't end, that they will not let it go ever, which only sounded crazy back then. Of course, it doesn't sound crazy now because here we are more than a year past flattening the curve. That's the way they put it here in California. Shelter in place for the next 3 weeks. That's what Gavin Newsom said on March 13th, Friday the 13th of last year, just till April 7th. That's what he said to us, looking straight into the camera. And I remember telling people they're not going to let this go. If they get obedience and compliance out of this, they're going to keep it going as long as they can. And, of course, you know, they're still resisting out here. And Oregon, as you know, it's just crazy. Many people have probably seen that young girl that passed out at the finish line after running a race with a mask on. Apparently, some rules they tried to impose on school districts with athletic competitors having to wear a mask, the insanity of it. I'd like to think of myself, I've been defiant for a very long time. I'd like to think that at that age of 17 or 18, I would have just said, hey, go pound salt, I'm not wearing a mask. But you never know the pressure you're subjected to when you're a child. That's the thing that makes me angry about this is they're coming after children. The whole vaccine for a long time has been about attacking children. People don't realize that. There's still stupid parents in this world that think it's about protecting them. But no, the Jews have been trying to attack our children ever since the very first vaccination campaigns of the 50s and 60s. And there's nothing different today. So they're now moving from adults with this swine flu, COVID, SARS, Nika, Zika, whatever you want to. It's just they make up different labels for their different operations. And now they're moving from the adults to the children. And, you know, no surprise. And again, I can't do anything about it except, you know, vent on calls like this.
Yes. And I mean, the danger is so small, even with adults, from alleged COVID-19, we'll just say. For children, it's so much more of a microcosm of a chance. A minuscule, just such a fraction of a percent. And of course, that's why you have to think it's more than just profit to go after the children like this for that. Perhaps there is a sterilization agenda involved in this. We have a caller, though, for you who's been on hold. Ken in New York. Hello, Ken. Hi, what's on your mind? Do you have something to share with my guest, Paul, in California?
Yes. I was listening to what he was saying before about the pharmaceutical companies trying to encourage or bribe people, so to speak, to take the vaccine. And what does it say about the person that's willing to risk their entire life over a donut?
Yeah, sure. There's a local chain here, a small chain of flooring stores, carpet and flooring, and I heard them advertising a discount. I think it was something like a 15% discount on your next flooring purchase if you brought in proof of vaccination. So this whole sickening thing is just it's unbelievable. Every radio station I listen to, I can barely enjoy music anymore. I have to, if there's a commercial break, I got to switch off because I swear to God, at least once or so an hour, and I don't care if I'm listening to contemporary rock, soft rock, easy listening, you know, the 80s, all these things that I enjoy, there are, you know, periodic, quote, public service announcements, a lot of times sponsored by the state of California.gov/getyourpoison, or Sierra Health Foundation, which I'm sure is connected somehow, telling you that they're safe and effective and we all need to do our part. And let's get to immunity. This is their recent tagline, little ad campaign. Right. Let's get to immunity. Well, yeah. I don't understand this at all because the so-called pandemic is really kind of over, right? There never was a pandemic to begin with. The mortality table showed no increase in deaths. And as I've made clear on other calls, and I'll make clear again,
There is no viral cause of disease. This has been debunked and disproven so many times, it's not even worth talking about anymore. And Stefan Lanka goes into great detail on some of his videos, and he's not alone. But he's among several now that have read Louis Pasteur's notes. Louis Pasteur's laboratory notes were made public, I think it was back in the 70s or 80s sometime, by the last living male heir to the Pasteur estate. And Stefan Lanka went to Paris and went to the library to read these notebooks. And, of course, Pasteur admitted his fraud in his own notes.
And as far as but
go ahead.
Well, no, also what Ken was referring to with the encouraging endorsements, that clip you sent me, it had Mary Tyler Moore on camera saying that she never got the shot, even though her doctor at the time encouraged her. And then later the doctor said, oh, actually, I'm glad you didn't get it. And yet, yeah, they included her in endorsement commercials and radio ads, whatever, mentioning her as someone, among others, who took it and encouraged you to get it. When they confirmed with her, she did not. So, yeah, Ken, did you have anything else you wanted to direct?
I've been trying to push an idea that I got from listening to Ralph Winterode. And he said he had a Supreme Court case that goes back some time ago. I can write him an email and ask, or I can ask him again, where it says that the Supreme Court said if you take any kind of a benefit, you owe a duty to the public. So this business about all of these using these stores and the stores saying that in their private capacity they can do anything they want, they fill out a return for taxes. That's considered a benefit, even though it's an obtuse kind of a benefit, because it's one way. You get what I'm saying on that, right?
No. Actually, in actuality, Ken, I'm at least somewhat of an expert here in California. Under the California law, I'm sure other states are similar, but when you take a business license, for example, and you basically become a fictitious business entity, right, so you're no longer an individual operating in your private capacity, and then you open your doors to the public, right? It's a public accommodation, and even under federal law, it's read that way. So they can't impose arbitrary standards, and they can't impose, they can't give you medical advice or prescribe any kind of a medical treatment. And essentially, mask wearing is a medical intervention. So there's, you have many different ways to look at this, but the bottom line is you cannot impose an obligation on anybody unless there's a law or a contract. This is under the civil codes. So in California, the civil codes are clear that an obligation, which would be the same as a requirement. So in other words, you're obligated to do something is the same as you're required to do something. So obligations can be imposed by contract, which means a mutual agreement of both parties, or by law. And there's no law in California, just like there's no law in these other states. These are, quote, mandates or color of law or pretense of law. And that was the basis for the ruling against the governors in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Illinois, Wisconsin, Colorado, and California. There could be more by now, but I have the court decisions from two of those states printed out, and they're all the same. Essentially, the governors are outside their authority of office. They're not lawmakers. They can't give orders. And so their so-called orders or mandates are null and void. But, of course, you don't see any coverage of this in the press. They're not announcing this. And, in fact, Gavin Newsom was specifically ruled against giving any more orders. He was actually in the 9-page ruling, which I have, and I carry on a clipboard when I go into stores most of the time. He was permanently enjoined from issuing any further orders under the California Emergency Services Act, the purported authority under which he issued his first orders. And the court ruled that his orders that he issued before were unconstitutional, null and void. And he was enjoined from issuing other orders. And, of course, that didn't stop him. Because, obviously, we are not.
Can I? One more thing.
Yeah.
Our sheriff here, we're in eastern Long Island. It was quite open. There was an open argument about him saying, this is going back months ago, that he would not enforce any of Cuomo's edicts. And on top of the Walmart, out in front of the Walmart, it says by order, by state/local order. And when I went in, I pulled my mask down, and they said, you got to have your mask over your nose. I said, no, I don't. And I said, fine. I said, call the police and I'll call a sheriff on them. We'll see who's got more horsepower. And the police don't even want to be bothered with it here.
And yeah, and that's good. But more than likely what will happen is you've seen on probably numerous YouTube and other videos, is the police will come out and they'll tell you that you got to go because they want you to go because you're, quote, trespassing, which, of course, is completely false. And the sheriff not only does not have a duty or responsibility to enforce, quote, edicts, but edicts are not something that can be enforced, period, end of story.
Right.
And any signs such as that you see are fraudulent inducement and fraudulent coercion, and they're actionable just on their own. In other words, putting up that sign with no law behind it, right, is an actual constructive fraud, and you could actually take an action in court for damages. If you're interested, you know, leave your contact information if you want with, the show, and maybe Richard could forward it to me. I'm familiar with the work of Ralph Winterowd, very, very smart guy. And, I could send you some documentation to give you more knowledge and more strength and more courage to challenge these things, because they're not letting these mass orders in the stores in California here go either. Most places I go, I have no problem because they know me. But there's always new places to go and to challenge it, because you just ask the simple question, is your order a lawful order? You know, if they're telling you to do something, say, let me ask you a question, is your request lawful?
Right.
And they'll just look at you with a blank face, because they don't have no idea what you're doing.
Well, Ken,
yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I don't want to hold you up anymore.
All right, well, if you want to leave your email with Julie or email me your email, Ken, and sure. Okay, let's go to
How about I just write to you then? Your email's on the website, right, Richard?
Yes, sir, and I'll forward it to Paul.
Oh, very good. Okay, I'll contact you that way so we don't hold anything up. All right, thank you, and bye.
Okay.
All right, thank you, sir. Sure. We have another caller, James in Vancouver. You're on the air, sir.
Hello? Yes.
Hello, James. Yes.
Yes. Congratulations for figuring it out that there was no pandemic at all. And now the next step is that they want to kill you. That's the deal.
Yeah. Yep. Here's the thing that makes me laugh, too, about this whole thing. There's been lots of talk around various places about, it's a Wuhan lab, a bioweapon. I've heard various people make claims about it. It's a gain-of-function bioweapon. You know, it's a mutated virus. I believe, and this is my personal opinion based upon my own, what I call my big brain communication with the universe, that's all nonsense either, okay? Because if they really wanted us to succumb to a virus, right, and there really was a virus that was somehow going to be released, they wouldn't tell us that we're going to get sick from a virus and tell us to stay home and tell us to separate and do all these things that if transmission of virus was real, then doing those things would help us actually prevent us from getting a virus. So, I don't think there's been ever any biological problem here.
You're exactly correct, and the whole story's fake, and I'm looking at this InfoWars, and this guy is still trying to say, emergency alert, Fauci project manager confesses to creating COVID-19, see? They're still trying to propagate this crap, all right? If they wanted to unleash a bioweapon, they could have done that 20 years ago. They had bioweapons, right? But this is all a con. It's all fake. Fake.
And here's the other thing. It's a point worth making that I've made many times on this show and other places, that why would they spend all this time and effort trying to stick a needle in our arms? I mean, imagine the logistics of actually trying to stick a needle in the vast majority of people's arms if they could just come up with a virus that would do us in, okay? The fact of the matter is we have nothing to fear from the natural world. The natural world is our friend and has been our friend for a very long time. So other than getting stung by a scorpion or bitten by a snake, the bottom line is we only have to fear our fellow evil-doing men.
Right. And I can guarantee you the warhead is in these shots. Okay, that's where the poison is. Okay, that's what they're doing. They got everybody herded. They stampeded everybody. If you listen to AM radio and all that mainstream crap up here, oh yeah, and how are you doing at the inoculation center? Well, we're doing really good and blah blah blah. And But, you know, those there's other people out there that are saying, you know, bad things. And but, you know, you just got to get in here and do it. And it's all BS. All of it.
Exactly. So anyway, and not one of those people getting the shot.
Yeah, appreciate your calling. Next we have Dan in Washington. Hello, Dan. How you doing today, sir?
Hey, okay. Real quick, with the last caller, I was by one of those big inoculation centers, just hundreds of people going in and out. And it was weird because the same day they were playing Invasion of the Body Snatchers on TV, and that's how I felt. Like, they're all going to, you know, they're coming for you, you know, and they're going to get you. But I just want to report, same thing happened to my stepdad. He 78, and he was not doing quite well. He was kind of losing his balance occasionally, but he was doing fine. And he got the vaccine, and literally he fell down. He doesn't remember what happened. He broke, like, fractured 6 ribs. And basically for 3 weeks, he was like bumbling, didn't know where he was, what planet he was on. He went to a nursing home, and he's slowly recovering, unable to walk hardly, without a walker now. And I told my mom, I was like, well, it's probably the vaccine. Oh, no. What kind of news are you listening to? That conspiracy stuff again?
Oh, my God. Are you serious? Yeah.
It's bad. So.
That is.
Hopefully he's getting a little better, but obviously it had some negative effect on him. I don't think he's ever going to be the same. I think he's just going to die now, you know.
I feel terrible for what's going on, and that generation is especially susceptible. My own mother took 13 flu shots in a row. In other words, 13 years in a row, she took a flu shot on the recommendation of her doctor. My mom was classic of her generation. They were doctor worshipers. You put a white coat and a degree on the wall, and oh my God, you know, whatever that guy says.
Right.
So literally, she was in the hospital 4 different occasions, hospitalized with pneumonia. Proximate to the shot, in some cases days later, some cases a week or so later, and she still never drew the connection. I remember visiting her in the hospital one time, and, you know, I was just so frustrated because she wouldn't listen to me, you know. And my mom told me, you know, looked me in the face and said, the doctor says they're not related. It's like, oh my God, good God. But this is the world we live in.
Well, anything else, Dan? I have one more caller to fit in.
No, my mom's like that with the vaccine passport. She's like, well, when I was a kid, we had to show our polio vaccine. Sure, what's the problem? It's insane. Yeah. Anyway, have a good day. Thanks.
Yeah, you always Thank you, appreciate Dan. Your calls. Thank you. Chance in West Virginia. Hello, sir.
Yes, hello, Richard. Hello. Paul, is it?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes. You know, guys, isn't it really ironic? I just reread something a couple of days ago. This was planned as far back, according to what I read, back to 1969 when it came to depopulation, and they even mentioned vaccinations. And this is back in 1969. So this is all going according to plan. So we're talking what, 1969, what, we got 31, 20, 51, 52
50 years
ago. And who knows if it even goes back further than that with this plan. But I read 1969, the powers that shouldn't be had this planned. And, you know, it's scary because it's strange how everything they said that I read, it fits to a T what's happening today, including the vaccination. So if people dug back and read and seen this, they would be in for a shock. Like I said, this was all planned.
Yes, indeed.
That it just yes, it was. And to think people should go back and read this. The globalists, humanists, they had this all planned. It's amazing. Now, it took quite a while. And from what I heard, they were going to implement this in 2050, but they decided to speed it up. So this is clearly about depopulation. It's a wicked plan. people should have to go back and read that. They'll fall off their chair to see how it was predicted. And that's all I wanted to say, gentlemen. Nothing happens by...
I'll go you one better.
Yes, sir.
I'll go you one better while you're still on the line, is that I personally believe, based upon everything I've seen, and I have just dozens and dozens of hours going down this rabbit hole. Well, last year I had basically zero. You know, I never knew what the difference between the virus and the bacteria was. I didn't really know anything about this stuff, but I just started looking and started listening. And I believe that the decision was made as soon as they knew that they could scare people from a contagion, be it a virus, be it a bacteria, whatever it is they wanted to call it, okay? They made that decision to take over medicine because it had so many uses, not just for money-making, but for tyranny and for depopulation. So they knew at the time that the work of Beauchamp was correct. And they knew that at the time, because multiple cases, they had shown they couldn't prove the correlation or the causality of these agents. Many of these people that had these diseases, they didn't have the so-called virus, and others they did. Some were sick, some weren't. So there was really no, like I said, there was no link at all that could be sustained. And as Stefan Lonkin and others have pointed out, that there's been no scientifically conducted double-blind studies that show that there's any connection at all between people having a virus and people being sick. Kind of like, you know, everybody that dies has got 10 toes, unless you lost one. So does having 10 toes cause your death? No. We all have viruses. We all have bacteria. We all have fungus. It's part of the world. It's part of our natural biome, and they don't do us any harm. We're basically suffering from intoxication, from poor diet and improper living anymore, and then also from the things that we breathe in the environment, in the water, and then also from shots. That's what causes.
And here's another thing. The reason why people are succumbing to this sickening fear is because the churches haven't been doing their jobs. They don't have faith in God. They don't have that strong faith. So naturally, they succumb to this sickening, despicable fear. That's another. So they took over the churches, too. So that had the effect of making them docile and sheep and fearful. That's another thing that ties in with this, too. And that's a shame, too. That's a shame. This is why I have no respect for a lot of organized religion nowadays, for what they did to their flock. That plays a part in it also. So, in other words, they covered all bases.
You're right.
And if you don't have a faith, you're doomed. You're practically doomed, and that's all I wanted to say. I don't want to turn it into a religious discussion, but that plays a part in it. Okay, gentlemen, thank you for taking. Thank you, and God bless both of you. Now,
always appreciate your calls. Thank you, Chance. And any last words then to sum up as we close out here, Paul?
Well, sure, there's so much contribution there, and a lot of it was extremely worthwhile. And the fact of the matter is you know who did indeed infiltrate churches. And, you know, we have, you can witness today, we have churches that are obeying government and not obeying God. And many of the so-called Christian churches and even the Catholic churches have closed their services because of these illegal mandates. So, yeah.
Well, a lot of great information. Thank you so much. Look forward to having you back on soon, Paul.
Thank you, Richard.
All right, and anyone wants to get in touch with him, you can email me. I'll forward it to Paul. Stick around for Patrick Slattery. Support RBN, and we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart.
buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.